This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutan, and with me Tan Chung Han and Julian Ng with the top business stories of the day. We look at the activities across the pond. Theresa May, British Prime Minister, has been visiting, or is in Washington visiting with the newly minted US President Donald Trump, and delivers a foreign policy salvo against the liberal interventionism of Tony Blair and the David Cameron. We have here Theresa May addressing the US Republican retreat in Philadelphia. She's expressed the UK's intentions to pursue a new UK-US free trade agreement.
The UK is the largest market in the EU and the third largest market in the world for exporters here. America is the largest single destination for UK outward investment and the single largest investor in the UK. And your companies are investing or expanding in the UK at the rate of more than 10 projects a week. British companies employ people in every US state from Texas to Vermont. Because of these strong economic and commercial links and our shared history and the strength of our relationship, I look forward to pursuing talks with President Trump and his new administration about a new UK-US free trade agreement in the coming months. It will take detailed work, but we welcome your openness to these discussions and hope we can make progress so that the new global Britain that emerges after Brexit is even better equipped to take its place confidently in the world.
That was Theresa May, British Prime Minister, addressing the US Republican retreat in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so it certainly sounds from that snippet that we just heard there that Theresa May is on a mission. She's there to talk trade. From that clip, we heard she was totally playing up the the virtues, the unique selling points, right, for the UK on behalf of the on behalf of her government in front of those Republican leaders here. So it does beg the question, though. And Julian, maybe you can add to this. You know, does the UK need the US more, or does the US need the UK more?
I think, in spite of the kind of public perception that have been leveled at countries like the UK for deciding on Brexit and Trump and America for deciding on going the way of more protectionism, there's still a lot of business to be done, right? It's not easy to bring these two countries down because they have their respective economic prowess and advantages. But it also means that the world is becoming, I guess, more narrow in its relationship, where before there was a very globalized feeling about this whole thing about doing trade and business.
Well, you know, was this an address to the Republican Party, or was it really about addressing Europeans? Because we said in the run up to this visit, European leaders were saying, yes, she's going there for a courtesy visit. She can't, in fact, because Britain is still part of the EU, negotiate a trade deal at this point in time. It would be against the spirit of the union. She hasn't even triggered Article 50. So what is she doing? What kind of signals is she's sending, and who really is she sending them to? Is it really the Americans, or is it more the Europeans?
Well, I think if nothing else, she's sending it to her own supporters, right? These people who are looking for Brexit, in that we are looking ahead. Granted, we have not triggered Article 50, but yet we have this plan in place. I am the first foreign leader to visit US President Trump. I'm here right now. I'm going to talk up our stats. I'm going to talk up our relationship, and that there are plans to pursue this two-way trade between the US and the UK. You know, forget the EU. Like, you guys are behind us. I'm not looking forward. I think that's the message that she's sending to the people back home in the UK. Now, also, just to give you some context here, you've got the US, in speaking about US and UK trade, the US has been incurring a trade deficit for every year since 1998. In other words, they're importing more from the UK than sending stuff over, except for the first 11 months of last year, there have been a trade surplus. Granted, we have to see what December's numbers are. So again, it just shows you the kind of relationship that the UK and the US already has. And at least in Theresa May's mind, she wants to move forward with a bilateral trade.
I think money is very smart. They would be able to see through all this. There's a lot of business to be done. And the economic implications are very much far greater than the kind of support that Theresa May can get from her own voters. She's just trying to show the world that two countries have the ability to do business together from this newfound, you know, BFF status, that they're going to carry on into the foreseeable future. But also a statement about their future roles in world affairs. Theresa May saying that the UK shouldn't just, or the US for that matter, shouldn't just go out there and fighting other people's wars.
Yeah, and also, if I may just bring some parallels between the hardline stance that she had with Europe. Remember, she said that a bad deal, a no deal is better than a bad deal with the EU. But you listen to the kind of tone and the message that she's sending to the Americans, very different. It's like, hey, you know, we had this long history together and we should be, you know, pals, buddy, let's work together. See, very different tone there, something to note.
Okay, there's also this interesting contrast between Donald Trump and his predecessor, Barack Obama. If you remember, Barack Obama was in Britain and he, in some ways, kind of campaigned for the Remain side of the argument. Whereas now we have Donald Trump saying very quickly, you know, just a few days ago, that he thought that Brexit was a good thing. Well, moving on to the next story, we have perhaps not such a friendly encounter, and this has to do with Mexico. The Mexican President Enrique Peña and U.S. President Donald Trump have gotten, their relationship has gotten shakier, as Peña has announced that he will not be attending a scheduled meeting in the White House. And we have, in fact, a clip here from Donald Trump on this planned cancellation.
I will not allow the taxpayers or the citizens of the United States to pay the cost of this defective transaction, NAFTA, one that should have been renegotiated many years ago, except that the politicians were too preoccupied to do so. To that end, the President of Mexico and myself have agreed to cancel our planned meeting scheduled for next week. Unless Mexico is going to treat the United States fairly, with respect, such a meeting would be fruitless, and I want to go a different route.
Well, we're off to a good start here when it comes to U.S.-Mexico relations now under the Trump administration. Also recall that Trump had previously described NAFTA as, and I quote, the single worst trade deal ever approved in this country. And as we heard from the clip there, he seems to still be towing that line. So and also on the back of that cancellation, now there's also talk from the White House that they do plan to impose a 20% tax, border tax, for anything from Mexico going into the U.S. You know, so it's very interesting to see the dynamics or the foreign policy and trade policy that the Trump administration has had already.
With no surprises, right? All throughout Donald Trump's campaign, the Mexican peso was
very volatile and following the
kind of statements they made. So the question is, what is the Mexican response? I mean, Mexico prepared for this. They knew this was on the cards for months. This is no surprise. Do they have a response?
Yeah. I think it's very hard for Mexico to justify from a numbers viewpoint because the deficit numbers of the U.S. In Mexico's favor is very hard to deny. Certainly, the U.S. has imported so much more from Mexico since NAFTA was implemented. But the question is whether this is really the fault of Mexico or really the fact that money is moving towards lower cost nations, right? It's hard to say that you want to bring back jobs to America and for that matter, many companies are rising up to the call of Donald Trump to create jobs for America and make America great again. But still, there are labor laws within the United States that you got to pay them more. They certainly earn more than their Mexican counterparts. So are you going to be able to make competitive products when you have a high cost base? That's the question. And it really questions the whole idea of outsourcing in the first place.
That's right. And so Trump's answer would be, nah, forget those cost savings. We want U.S. jobs. That's it. You know, when it comes to all his trade deals, his meetings with Jack Ma, with the tech titans, everyone, it's all about jobs. Now, Sharad, just going back to your question about the currencies there. So, yes, we did see a response in the Mexican peso. It was down by more than 1% against the U.S. dollar after the cancellation. But then after that, it did did reverse some of its losses there, you know. And just to give you another number here that you can latch on to, the U.S. and Mexico, every single day, these two countries have cross-border trade of $1.6 billion per day. You know, so it's going to be under threat here. You know, obviously, Trump, you know, if he does push through with that 20% border tax, that's massive. Granted, it's slightly below that other 35% border tax that he had proposed, you know, elsewhere. But 20%, that's still going to be a massive hindrance. It certainly bodes well for his protectionist agenda. Mexico, where else are you going to run to?
Well, we'll be back with more top business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.